Most of us have never received a promise until, in our thinking, it's manifested. And that is not true. We're to believe when we pray that we've received. And then you shall have. Now, what stops that operation? Well, I'm sure glad you asked, because this morning we're going to get into figuring out why does that manifestation not come once we know that we've received it. In Hebrews chapter 4, let's go with verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, if any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, this is referring to the nation of Israel, when God had spoken to Moses to deliver His people. And He told Moses right up front, very clear. He says that I want you to go and possess a land that flows with all the goodness that God would have to offer man. And He says, so Moses, I want you to take what you've got, and I want you to head for that nation that has had my people locked up for many years, and I want you to set them free. Well, of course, right away, Moses began to assimilate his ability to deliver a nation on his own merits. That's usually what destroys faith in us. When God gives us a promise, we begin to wonder how in the world we're going to receive it on our own merits. A lot of times, it's beyond your capability of doing anything apart from God. And God established that real quick with Moses. He had to use some natural means to get him to understand a spiritual application. He said, Moses, what do you got? He says, well, I don't really have it. He said, what about that staff in your hand? You know, that's symbolic of something. That's symbolic of something. That what you do have, listen, you put God in it, and it'll work. But a lot of times you don't feel that you have anything. Well, I'll tell you what. It doesn't matter whether you feel like it or not. If God's in it, you got something. And God told him, He says, hey, that rod in your hand, He says, throw it down. So Moses did, and it changed into a snake. He said, pick it up again, Moses. He picked it up again. Well, he got Moses' attention. See, Moses thought he had a stick in his hand. He had a whole lot more than that in his hand. He began to realize that. So he got a clue real fast. He says, when I'm in your hand, Moses, there ain't no serpent on the face of the earth going to stop me. Now, do you think that God didn't have a completed plan to bring the nation of Israel out of bondage and take them completely into the promised land? Do you think God didn't have that thing planned? Of course He did. And so His work, as far as He was concerned, was complete. All as He wanted the nation of Israel to do is to pay attention when He spoke, and they'd get there. That's all He wanted them to do. Because when you get into chapter 4, He lays very clearly all the works that were done from the foundation of the world. And on the day of everything being completed, God sat down and gave a rest. But there's something that is overlooked after everything was complete. After God had completed everything, He turned to Adam and said, now take charge. Yeah. And he sat down. He entered into a rest. Why? Because God wanted Adam to take control of his completed work. Can I hear an amen? I said, God spoke. Adam, take dominion over everything that I've worked. Can I hear another amen? Amen. You guys are awake here this morning, aren't you? You know, we have to start a little earlier, but that don't mean you still have to sleep. Praise God. Now, I want you to notice this verse here. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well unto them, those that were in bondage to Egypt. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith. Now notice this. In them that heard. Now, we've got something here that is kind of brought to our attention. In the Greek, it's a little different. For unto us the gospel was preached, as well as unto them, but the word of hearing preached did not profit them. Why? Because they were not united by faith to them that heard it. That's how it is in the Greek. Notice it's changed a little bit. It says, but the hearing of the word, the hearing, the word of hearing preached did not profit them. Why? Because it didn't have an additive called faith. Now, you know what? God's Bible is full of promises. And God has to speak these promises to you. And you have to take and trust in them, believe in them, that when you hear it, you'll believe it. Well, then, if that's true, then what's stopping me from the manifestation of my promises? I'll tell you right now what it is. Your head. Not your circumstances, not people, your head. That's a little hard, isn't it? Well, should I put in there your darling head? No, we don't got a hard head, because that's obvious. So I'm trying to be kind here, Barb. Don't make me a monster here. This word mixed is very interesting. It means to join together or to temper together so that the one part counterbalances another. So that one part counterbalances another. So if you hear the word of God and you believe in what you hear, then your faith will counterbalance what? Your hearing? Will it counterbalance what you heard? No. It's not saying it'll counterbalance what you heard. It says they heard it. They heard it. Which brings up an interesting point. If they heard something, then there has to be a voice that speaks contrary to what God says. There has to be another hearing that goes on. There has to be another hearing that goes on. Hey, listen. I'm preaching to you guys this morning. I'm preaching to those that are watching by television. And I'm preaching to myself. It does not say, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word of hearing did not profit them. Notice, It didn't say the word didn't profit them because of another voice. Are you following me? It doesn't say that. But listen, if you hear something, then you have to be hearing something else. And that's what makes that verse a little confusing. If you hear the word, listen, if you're hearing the word of God, and that verse doesn't bring out there's another voice that's expressed in it, but it goes on to say, not being mixed with faith, then there's got to be another voice that's speaking contrary to the word of God. And I've discovered where he's found. I've discovered where the voice is found. And I can't preach this enough. Romans 8. Turn there. Romans chapter 8, go to verse 7. Got all these wonderful sermons on renewing the mind. We got to renew the mind. Look at verse 7. Well, before we get to verse 7, look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, the Greek is, it's very interesting. In verse 6, when it says to be carnally minded is death, actually, the Greek brings a stronger tense here, a stronger action. And you know what that is? The minding of the flesh. Or I'll put it this way, by paying attention to the mind. And in this place, the carnal mind, because in the Greek it says the minding of the flesh. The minding of the flesh. Or putting your mind or setting your mind on the mind of the flesh. Now notice verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Well, what do we do with mind renewal right now? What do we do with mind renewal? If our carnal mind cannot be subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, then we got us a problem here, because we hear all kinds of sermons and we read all kinds of books that says that the carnal mind has to be renewed. Well, there's another verse over there in 1 Corinthians 2 that kind of joins that verse. It says the intellectual mind, the carnal mind, can't even comprehend. Can't even begin to discern the mind of God. So why are you even bringing this up? Well, the time we hear the word, it has to be mixed with faith. And if it's not mixed with faith, it's because we got another voice coming from somewhere. And thank God for Romans 8. Because the writer that wrote Hebrews 4:2 is capitalizing over here in Romans 8 before he even gets to the issue of 4:2. What stops our faith mixing with what we hear? Because we got another voice that's speaking. Where does that voice come from? I'm glad you ask. Seeing how you're all so intent here. Notice this. Because the minding of the flesh is enmity against God. There again, verse 7, it talks about a continuous action. The minding of the flesh is what is actively hostile against God. What, the word enmity means it's actively hostile against God. What is? Well, here it would be the carnal mind. Why? Why is it actively hostile against God? because it's not subject to the law of God, neither can indeed be. Now, see, a lot of us, we don't really understand what that means. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Well, let me ask you something. Is God's word called the word of faith? What is faith? What is faith? Obedience is a way to obtain, but that's just one of the journeys. But what is the blanket meaning of faith? What is faith? It means to trust in God apart from the senses. Can't get simpler than that. It means that when God said it, that settles it. Not whether you believe in it or not. When God said it, it was settled. It's completed work. Now what makes that completed work come alive is for you to believe in it. Because the word believe means to what? To have faith or trust. So, faith is basically believing in the Word of God apart from the senses. You might write that down. Because, man, faith can get so complicated. And here's why. Because the carnal mind is actively engaged against the faith of the Word of God. Now, why is that? Because the carnal mind is bound up in its existence by what it can see. How many of you can see here this morning? Let's see your hands. Okay. By what it can feel, by what it can touch, by what it can taste. And which one did I leave out? By what it can hear. That's what your carnal mind is made up of. Now, how is the faith of God going to come into agreement with what you can see, what you can feel, what you can taste, what you can hear, and what you can? How is it? How is your five senses going to agree with the faith of God? That's why there's such a battle going on in the church today, because they don't understand. My mentor and my blessing in my life, Kenneth Hagin Sr. and Jr., the blessings they have been in my life, because they taught me that I'm not limited to what my physical carnal mind tells me. Because it's full of reasonings. Well, where does reasonings come from? Comes from insanity. When it comes to the Word of God. And the only hope that we have, when God speaks, the only hope that we have is for something to take place to separate the voice of my carnal mind from the voice of the Spirit of God. It's the only way I'm going to have any hope whatsoever in this natural realm. And so God's got to get into my heart in such a way that I can begin to discern or take and separate the voice of my carnal mind from the voice of my spiritual being. The problem is I only have one soul. It's made up of two parts. It's made up of that which is physical, sensual. It's made up of that which is spirit. It's housed in a fleshly brain. Now, go to Mark chapter 4. We have a wonderful promise there that most of us probably never look at it as a wonderful promise. But boy, when I read it and the Spirit of God quickened this thing to me, I got excited. In Mark chapter 4, let's go to verse 22. Verse 22. I was believing God for something, and I was struggling with it. And I said, God, give me a verse. Because I had already put my petition out. I've already asked God for something. And how many of you know it's when you ask to when the manifestation comes, you got this little area here that there's where the battle begins. How many of you have ever been there? I asked God once to give me, out of your word, a word that will continue to sustain me until the manifestation. Because I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I've already received it. I'm convinced of that. But I need a word that will help me go from point A to completion. He gave me that verse. And at first when I looked at that verse, I said, God, what in the world has that verse got to do with what I'm asking you? He says, well, if you would get rid of your physical brain and start praying in the Holy Ghost a little bit, I'll give you the connection. Boy, he did. You know what he told me in that verse? Look at it. For there is nothing hid which shall not manifest or be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret that it should come abroad. Okay. You know what he was telling me in this verse? If I received a promise of God, if I've received it, then what I have to do is I have to have patience by possessing my soul until the manifestation comes. Why? Because God never intended for you to operate outside the sense realm, your five senses, listen, and have faith beyond the senses, that if you're operating out in that realm, that where God is, sight unseen, apart from the senses, if you do what He tells you to do, it will come abroad. It will manifest. And he said that verse is a guarantee that if you observe what that verse is centered around, whatever I have told you to do concerning my word, apart from your senses, it will manifest. And I says, yeah, but that could be taken negatively. And the Lord said, yes, amen. It'll manifest one way or the other. That's why over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 is so critical. It's how the elders obtained a good report. Why? They were given a word. They were spoken a word. And it wasn't how God created the universe. I'm sorry. It was literally more relatable than that to you and me. It was how men, just like you and me, apart from being born from above, just natural men, received a word from God, and they held on to that sucker until it came to pass. Because the word for frame there is the Greek for altered or adjusted. And the word for world there is aeonous time period. They got a word from God and they changed or altered or adjusted their time frame, their time period. Why? They got a word from God and they held on to it. They didn't let nothing take it. You know, I had a brother-in-law. He's since gone on home to be with the Lord. And that man could preach a faith sermon that set your hair on end. But as soon as the anointing lifted off of that guy's life, he was the most faithless guy I've ever ran into. And that puzzled me. And finally I went to Dave and I said, Dave, why is it that guy can preach a faith sermon where I've got healed off of his messages, and yet it just seems like it just slips there? He says, well, he's preaching something that is not connected to his spirit. And I said, well, I don't understand that. And Dave started to try and tell me that, and it was just too overwhelming. I said, I don't know what you're saying. Okay, it's not connected to a spirit. I understand that. John G. Lake wrote something that was very interesting. Because that man got healing results in people's lives. He created the healthiest city, not in the state of Washington. He created the healthiest city in the world. Now, some people are trying to copy his healing rooms. But I can just talk to him on the phone and tell whether or not they're going to qualify to bring the same results he did by just asking him a few questions. But notice what John G. Lake said. Faith has the quality and power with the Spirit of God to do what a match does to powder. How many of you ever lit a match to powder, gunpowder? Not too many of us, because we're not that stupid, but I did once. It is the touch of faith through us, that ignites the Spirit and produces the divine action that takes place in the soul. Isn't that interesting? Something has to take place within us to dominate that carnal mind. Yes. Which is a weapon of God by being obedient. And I always wonder why I never use the word faith there. He used the word obedience there. Why? Because a lot of times when you trust and believe in what somebody says, you just have to be obedient because you don't have any feelings that goes with your faith a lot of times. Why? Because you got this carnal mind saying, well, you know, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. You know. Now, are you guys getting something here this morning? Number one, we find that when we have a promise of God, it has to be mixed with faith. To believe is another word for faith. Number two, I want you to notice something here in Mark 4 that's very interesting. And let's go to verse 19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Notice, it becometh unfruitful. Now, the word choke here is a very interesting Greek word. It literally means that something is being strangled until it has no more life in it. Something is strangled till it has no more life in it. Now, I want you to take just for a second and understand where the hands that choke somebody come from. Number one, it comes from the cares of this world. That is one set of hands that will remove the life from the Word of God. Number two, the deceitfulness of money. Money, the love for money, and the deceitfulness of it, and it always comes in the form of deceitfulness, removes life from the Word of God, and the desire of other things enter in, and then the choking process and the unfruitfulness takes place. Now, when he said in verse 22, for there is nothing hid that should not be made manifest, that's God's bank on the fact that if you know how to hear, you know how to receive the promise, and you know how to plant it in the right ground, it will manifest. But you have obstacles in your life that can get in there to remove the life of God's Word. Now, notice it says the cares of this world. Listen, it's not wrong to living in this world where there's a lot of cares. But these cares, they can have the power to remove the life of the Word of God in your life if you're not careful. I visited a church, large church. And I'm not going to say where or what, because this is airing. But when I entered into the sanctuary, I noticed, large church, a lot of businessmen on their cell phones, talking and milling around the foyer. And I thought, well, they'll shut their phones off and they'll go inside. And they have a sign, you know, cell phones off. And in the service, I kept noticing, instead of potty breaks, they had cell phone breaks. They get up, they leave the sanctuary, and flop off. You know what that shows me? That businessman is more interested in his dollars than hearing the Word of God. That is something we need to break within ourselves. I shut that phone off. I do. I don't carry it into the sanctuary with me. Well, I'm going to act in integrity towards the Holy Spirit. Whether that person's got anything to say or not. It's just something in me called integrity that's not going to allow me to be distracted when I hear the Word of God. And it sickened me to see that church and so many men milling around in the foyer talking over each other with these cell phones on. It sickened me. You mean to tell me we can't hang the phone up long enough to hear the Word of God? Something's really not clicking here. You bet I'm going to preach it. It is a little subtle thing getting into your heart and life that's going to remove you from the attention of the Word of God. I guarantee you, it'll start there, but it'll escalate. And these businessmen, a lot of them, all they think about, and they're good at it, making money, but they're not good at paying attention to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, what does it mean that these things would come up to choke or remove the life of the Word of God out? Satan! Well, I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for Satan. No, the bottom line is, you let Satan take you out, and then you have no life in that Word, then where are you going to run to when the world has no more hope for you? Now notice this. Verse 21. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? Why would he even bring that verse out? Well, you know what a candlestick does? We set a candle on it and light it. You know what a candlestick will do? Give you light. Which tells me something. The Word of God is designed to take root in the heart of men. Because that's what the parable is about. And he says, if you don't understand this parable, you ain't going to understand any other parables. Why? He's talking about a seed going into the ground. And there ain't anything that's hid that will not be made manifest. You can take a seed and just drop it on the ground and sit there, and it's manifested. The seed's manifested. It's right there. But if you don't plant it in the ground, you'll look at that sucker till you drop dead. Why? Because it will not become one with the ground and take root and produce fruit. You see. You got to hear how to take that seed and put it into the ground. And so why would he bring the issue of a candle? Because the candle is likened unto the spirit of man. It is the spirit of man that is the candle of the Lord, lighting all the inward parts of the belly. Well, he's using a natural mean to give you an understanding of a spiritual truth. He's saying when God's word enters into your ground, hallelujah, it brings the entrance of light so you can clearly see what's going on in the inside of you. Glory to God. Now, we are living in a time period. The Lord reminded me, we are living in the time period, he said, in the last of the last days, where men will not endure sound doctrine. And that's the word hagios. It means a doctrine that will clean you up. Whew. Now, we come to this hearing thing. Well, let me expound a little bit more on verse 21. Verse 21, he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? Some translations have got vessels. Now let me ask you something. If the Word of God is coming to you, and it has to be mixed with faith in them that hear it, then was it for God's intentions to keep it hidden in your life, or that it should come abroad in your life, make manifest in your life? You know, I'm careful how I hear. I've always been that way. I said, Lord, you know, anybody can hear somebody preach something, and it can always sound good. But I've learned that Satan comes as an angel of light. He wraps everything in his voice in light. Oh, wasn't that such a good sermon? I walked out of services where they said, oh, that was tremendous. And I looked at him and said, man, I ain't going back in that place. Why? That junk he preached? Junk! How could you say it was junk? I said it appealed to the sensual man, but it had nothing to do with the reality of the Word of God. I'm careful how I hear. Why? Because that's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So what measure you put forth, that's the measure you're going to get back. So I never go back. And they get mad because that's their mentor. Well, if your mentor has a ceiling on his life, you inherit that ceiling. That's why I'm very careful of who I pick. And I don't speak against other ministers. I won't do that because God will hold me accountable. But if they ask me, point blank ask me, I'd say, he has nothing that will take me to where I need to go. Thank you. Let's let it go at that. Because then I'm not judging him as a person. I'm judging them in light of the quality of the Word of God in our life. People, we're living in America. We're living in the land of plenty. We're living in a land that God's been good to us. We're living in a land that we have freedom fighters over our life. We're living in a land where the gospel has the freedom to flow. It's about time we quit rebelling and get in with God. And flow with Him. Praise God. We're not waiting on God for revival. We got to go to where God is in revival. Same way I'm going to receive a promise and make it manifest is the same way I go to revival with that man. My living God, my Savior. It's the same way I'm going to go to Him. Men have broken that realm on their knees. The Welsh revival. My gosh, it's incredible. But you see, if revival is not spawned by truth in the believer's heart, he won't stay revived. Why? The Word enters in and chokes. It's choked out. Now, I want you to notice something here in verse 24. And this is where the Lord spoke to me and said, always trust me to lead you to your mentors. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. For with what measure you will be measured, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Well, actually, this is worded a little differently. Let's look at how it's worded in the original text. And he said to them, take heed what you hear with. For what measure you measure, it will be measured to you, and it will be added to you. So that means that if I'm not careful of what I'm going to hear, then what I am hearing will be added to me. And if it's wrong, then I inherit that which is wrong. Now notice this. For he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. Why? He wasn't careful of what he was listening to. Hello? Yep. Now what happened? Well, even what he had was taken from him. Why? Everything hid will manifest. Everything hid will manifest. Well then, what is the hope of my dilemma? I'm glad you ask. Verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. Oh, this is very interesting. Write this down, verse 26 and verse 27. Are you ready? These verses are telling us of patience. They are telling us how to be patient. How? For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. Notice this. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. I like this in the Greek. For the earth bringeth forth of its own accord. Of its own accord. Notice this. First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. What did he use? He used what we call harvest words. If we're patient and we plant that seed in the right ground, people, well, I'm going to tell you what. If you plant God's seed in your carnal mind and try to figure it out there, wrong ground.
Right.
Why? Because your mind, your natural mind, was not designed to bring forth life. It is your spiritual mind that dominates your natural mind. And how it dominates it is because when the seed is allowed to remain there long enough, it'll bring, first of all, poop, the blade. Then, poop, the ear. Then after that, poop, the full corn. I'd hate to come home and say, "So, what are we having for supper?" We're having the blade today. The blade and, that's it, the blade. What store did you go to? Well, I went to the store where they were selling the blades. Now, right away in my thinking, I said, what kind of store would sell something that's not brought to the full crop? Wouldn't you guys think that? Weird. I'd have to call it a biblical illustration store. Now, before you can get the ear, you have to come on back to the store tomorrow. Because then we're going to sell the ear. Then the next day, the full corn in the ear. No, you wouldn't even go back. You'd think that store was weird. And it would even affect my thoughts towards my wife. Now notice this. But when the fruit is brought forth. In the Greek it says, but when the fruit is permitted to ripen. When the fruit is permitted to ripen. Immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Be not deceived, for whatever is hid will come abroad. It'll manifest. Glory to God. We just have to have a little patience within ourselves. And in a McDonald territory, that's tough on a guy. I mean, how many of you'd go to McDonald's if you ever drove up to the window and ordered a meal and said, come back tomorrow, we'll have it ready for you? You'd say, give me my money back, I'm out of here. I'm going over to Taco Bell. Oh, guys, pop them tacos out one at a time right now. Now, notice this. He said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may not lodge under the shadow. In the beginning of this parable, he talked about the fowls of the air taking the seed. He said, now what you do is you grow up so strong, the fowls of the air won't be able to take your seed. Why? Because you're an our tree.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. And I got news for you. A grain of mustard seed faith gets you nowhere in the Bible. People say, if you have a little grain of faith, mustard seed, you could move this mountain. It did not say that. It's like an unto a seed, though it be very little in faith, when it's allowed or permitted to grow into a big tree. That's what moves mountains. Because you keep following the Word of God in every verse where it says, oh, you have little faith. They were negatory. Jesus was negatory on it. Then little faith gets you nowhere. Now, are you ready? I said to myself, boy, Jesus, this stuff is so mind-boggling. If I could have just walked with Jesus, if I could have just saw Him in action, you wouldn't move me. Well, I thought it was very interesting. Let's read on down. We're going to quit. Verse 33. And with many parables spake He the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. Now, this is very interesting. Jesus waited to the point they were able to hear it. As they were able to hear it. Now, notice this. But without a parable spake He not unto them. And when they were alone, He expounded to His disciples all things. Wow. Isn't that cool? But as you read, Jesus told them to go to the other side. And they started to cross that lake. And a monstrous storm came up. I know what it looks like. John has a picture of it on his wall in his office. I saw the light one day looking at that thing. Now, you ready? It says there arose such a great storm of wind and stuff. Now, notice, in verse 40, they woke Jesus up in the middle of the sleep. Boy, I'm sure glad they woke Jesus up. He would have drowned. Now, what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. Why? Because, number one, He waited till they were able to hear the Word of God. And number two, He expounded all things. Now, are you ready? This word expounded, I caught it in the tense that it's mentioned. Are you ready? This word for expounded here, oh, it's really interesting. This word literally means, this is the imperfect tense, it literally means a continuous action from a result of something in past time. In other words, this means incomplete, means that action that took place in the past is moving right up to the present and it'll continue its action future tense. In other words, it is there's not a completeness to it. It's an ongoing, continuous thing. Are you following what I'm saying? And you know what He's saying here? When He said He expounded all things to them, He wasn't saying, I just preached the word to them. He literally said, because of what comes with this kind of action. What comes with this action, are you ready, is the mood of reality, which literally means that He not only preached it to him, He demonstrated it to him. He demonstrated it to him. Well, people, we got the demonstration of Jesus right there in our Bible. We got to get out of the glory of men, get contact with Jesus, and see how He did things and act just like Him. Glory to God. And no wonder He got up and said, hey, you, ooh, I'm about ready to drown every one of you. Peace be still. Oh, what sort of man is it? When did they get the revelation? He wasn't normal. Let me ask you something. Is God's Word a normal thing? He tells you how He takes the absolutely normal and transforms it into the impossible. Glory to God. Glory to God. I preach myself happy. I preach me a sermon to myself. Now we're going to continue on next Sunday. The Lord willing. Amen. And we'll get this thing down. We'll get it down, people.
Hallelujah.
We'll get it down. Amen. We're going to get it down. Stand up, everybody. We're going to get it down.
Hallelujah.
We're going to get it down.
Yeah.
You know, every once in a while I pull out that book like a mighty wind. But that book is powerful. How many of you have that book, Like a Mighty Wind, by
Mel Tari?
It is powerful. Boy, his best illustration of faith to me was when the pastor of this church and his brother got the communion wine ready for service the next morning. And the priest stood over and he dipped that ladle into that water, tasted it and said, "Best wine yet." And his brother took it and said, "Oh, it's got to be the best." Pastor said, "Yeah, it is. This is going to be the best communion we've ever had. It's the best." And then they put these little cloth nets over the deals. And as they left, he decided to go up and taste it. Pulls back the little net, dips the ladle in, and he goes, "It's water." How could they say that? How could they say that? Next day it was wine. They did so many of the miracles of Jesus in that book, it's incredible. Why? Somehow someone got a revelation. If God said it, believe it because it's already settled.
Yeah.
It's not settled because you believe it. God settles it.
Yeah.
You join your believing to it and it'll work. It'll manifest. There ain't nothing hid that it'll not come abroad. There ain't nothing hid that it won't come abroad when you take the promises of God. God's telling you and me, out of Mark 4, there ain't nothing hid that it ain't going to come abroad. Glory to God. We just got to believe in that. We got to trust in it. We got to have patience.
Amen. Yeah.
Father, I thank you for the Word of God this morning. And as we close this service, we don't know how to close one quite yet, Lord. We're having trouble with that. But Father, I ask, oh yes, Lord, I just remembered something. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, if there be anybody here that has never received Jesus as their Savior, oh Father, we want to lead them right into the throne room. We want to make them change citizenship out of this world into the kingdom of the living God. You might know about Jesus, but you've never known Him personally. This is where being born from above comes in. This is where you get a personal acknowledgement of His awareness and His life birthed in your heart. You might think you know Him, but boy, when you get born from above, you know Him. Hallelujah. It just comes with the birthing. Hallelujah. And if you're here and you've been backslid, you've allowed the Word of God to lose its life in your life. And you want to bring that thing back. We want to pray with you and bring you right back into full fellowship with the kingdom of God and His Word. Hallelujah. And if you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost, oh, glory to God. We have altar ministers that will lay hands on you and see to it that you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And speak with other tongues. Boy, that heavenly language is the key to your strength. That heavenly language is a key to your strength. TJ, that heavenly language is a key to your strength. TJ, that heavenly language is a key to your strength. Let it work. Let it work. Hallelujah. So if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you got to get that tongue going. Hallelujah. That's what builds the edifice in your life. Hallelujah. And so, right now, if you fit one of those three areas, I want you to step out and come on down forward. Anybody, feel free to step out and just come down. Don't you be ashamed. It don't matter what people think. If you confess confess God before men, the Father will confess you also. So don't hesitate. Come on down here. If you know that you need prayer for salvation, restoration in your walk with God, or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, come on down here. Anybody? Hallelujah. Okay, here's what we're going to do. You heard the message today. And how many of you can agree? There's just too much minding of our flesh. The promises of God haven't flown like a river before. Now we're going to get a chance to pray for that area in our life. Complacency in the kingdom of God. Complacency in the kingdom of God, people. That's where there's no life in the Word. Is that incorrect to read somebody like that if they're complacent in the Word, that there's no life in the Word in them? Well, how critical is this? I'll tell you how critical it is. It's life or death to you people. You don't want to wait until you get slam dunked with something that's beyond where you're at in your faith. You want to be prayed up ahead of time. You know, as your pastor, you know I'm doing that already. I have certain prayers that I'm already praying to cover me. If you can't get a believer to even pray, you got real problems. Why? Because, boy, I'll tell you what, Satan never sleeps. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Hallelujah. So if you're here today also, and you want a response to this message, well, I think all of you do, don't you? You know, I got that in my spirit. Why have a line when the whole church needs that, including me? Let's pray that up before the Lord together. Then we're going to dismiss you. Hal, are you ready? Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I do admit that my carnal mind gets so in the way of God. Speak to me, Lord. As I draw close to you to tear down these reasonings that keep me out of the place that you would intend for me to be. Show me, Lord, how to use my tongue. Draw the sword of the Spirit. Be a watchman over the reasonings that wants to rebel in my soul. I'll just cut them down with a weapon of God. Amen. You believe that? Yes.